Hi, everybody. I'm Julie, and I am an alcoholic. Let's have an AA meeting. Welcome to the Monday Night Blue Chip Speakers meeting at the NAVA Club, where a member of Alcoholics Anonymous with 1 year or more of sobriety tells his or her story. This reading is based on a passage from page 29 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Each individual in our personal stories describes in their own language and from their own point of view the way they establish their relationship with God. These give a fair cross-section of our membership and a clear-cut idea of what has happened in their lives. We hope no one will consider these self-revealing accounts in bad taste. Our hope is that many alcoholic men and women in our room tonight and listening later on aabluechipspeakers.org, desperately in need, will hear our speaker. And we believe that it is only by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems that any of us shall be persuaded to say, yes, I am one of them too. I must have this thing. So tonight I have the pleasure of introducing our speaker. And I guess 6 years ago, this man walked into the 9:30 meeting, which used to be my home group, decided he wanted what we had. He must have this thing. And so now we're going to hear how he has attained that. So everybody, let's welcome David.
Hey everybody, I'm David, alcoholic and an addict. So I didn't write anything out. I figured I would just wing it today, but I'll tell you a little bit about why I actually asked him if I could tell my story today, because this day is very important to me. On this day, 6 years ago, I was getting out of the DeKalb County Jail for a three-day stint, and I had never been in jail before. I hit rock bottom, and I had used and I had drank for 35 years, from the time I was 15 until 50, and then it all came crashing down on one Friday night, and I spent the weekend in jail. And that's when I decided that I really needed to come into AA. I had been in AA a couple of meetings before at the request of a girl that I dated, but I decided that using was more important than drinking than keeping her, and I let her go. So, and that was a great loss for me. So I'll cut back to my story. I was born in New Jersey to a middle-class family. Nobody's an alcoholic in my family that I know of. I had my dad's sister's husband, my uncle, was an alcoholic, and I think he died of alcoholism, but he wasn't related by blood. I'm Jewish. So my first alcohol was that I remember, and I know people talk about that warm feeling. I never quite fit in because I was kind of like the class clown when I was a kid. I was chunky. I always wanted attention, didn't get invited to the parties, so I was kind of, I didn't fit in. So one Saturday when I was at Temple, I decided to drink a little bit too much of Manischewitz wine, and because of that, I was really sick to my stomach, and I didn't get to go into New York City to go see a show with my family, or I did. I don't think I went in. I think I was too sick at home, and I remember how I felt. It was warm, and it was different, but I really didn't love it, that was the first time. And then there were several blackouts along the way. There was a New Year's Eve in high school in Fort Lauderdale where my friends left me in front of my parents' front door, passed out. That wasn't too impressive. There was a fraternity initiation where I don't know how I survived. And then there was the worst case scenario. There was the worst that was right out of grad school. I was living in Naples, Florida. And I went out drinking one night with a buddy of mine, I don't know how he lives. You hear stories about how people were accidentally shot because they knocked on the wrong person's door. They thought they were disoriented. Well, we went out to the Registry Hotel in Naples, very high-end hotel. It was free drinks, unlimited grand reopening of the bar. And we got obliterated. I don't know how we got home alive. I heard that someone almost pulled a gun when I was knocking on the door of a house that wasn't mine, a townhouse. I lost my job the next day because I wasn't able to travel. Just a really bad, bad story. So then I stopped drinking and I started doing other things instead. And that consisted, that kept on going worse and worse and worse, because I knew I was a blackout drinker, and I always was concerned about my weight, so I decided to do other things instead, and that led me down the path when I got married in 1996 to, I'm a big Eagles fan, they're coming to Atlanta. Life in the Fast Lane was my favorite song, and that's how I lived my life from 1995 to 2013. Everything, all the time, nonstop, you name it. I'm lucky that I lived. I'm lucky that I kept my job. I lost my marriage. I lost my kids. But I didn't go to jail. I had some very, very bad days where I remember taking MARTA and going on. I travel a lot for business, and I was taking MARTA to the airport after an all-night bender, and I was sweating profusely. It was the middle of the summer, but I was sweating even more so, like it was 120 degrees instead of 90. And somehow I survived a lunch meeting with people in Memphis with attorneys that I was meeting with, and I'm sure they were wondering what was going on with me, but I still didn't stop. You know, I still didn't stop until that one fateful Friday night where the Dunwoody police decided to come knocking at my door in my apartment, and I let them in, which I didn't need to do, which it was God. It was definitely God that changed my life. So that's how I, that's how it was. And when I was in jail on the second night, just came to me that I should write a letter to God, to myself, to my family and my friends. So I had a pencil and I had a piece of paper and I wrote a 3-page letter. I don't have it anymore, because when I was released on that Monday, 6 years ago today, I left it there. I wish I would have kept it. But I wrote how I was going to change. I wrote how I was going to change. And I was forced to change, or I was going to lose my life and my job. The only reason I kept my job, it was a 3-day weekend, and our offices on Columbus Day were closed. So nobody was looking for me. Usually I have to be available 24/7. So I wrote that letter. I came out. I had an attorney. The attorney said to me, you better get yourself to AA. I had gone to counseling when I was married, when I was divorced. And this one counselor in Sandy Springs used to say to me, here's a meeting sheet. You should go to AA. And I would take it after every meeting with him, throw it out, and go and do something. You know, same thing, definition of insanity. He knows I'm sober now. So I came to AA for the first time. And that was 8111, the 10 o'clock. And I started coming to NAVA to the 9:30. I've only been coming to this meeting for about 5 years now, but, you know, I did at least 90 and 90. I found a sponsor. The reason I found my sponsor was a Friday night, 8 o'clock meeting at 8111. The gentleman was the discussion leader. He asked the question of the audience, of the crowd there, how long does an AA meeting keep you sober? And the idiot that I was, I couldn't answer the question until I realized at the end of the meeting it was 1 hour, and he wound up being my first sponsor. So I worked through the steps with him. And working through the steps, I worked through them fairly quickly, but not rushed. Into action was very fast. I had a lot of resentments. When I was married, right in the beginning of my active addiction, like crazy, I had a lot of resentments at the office, and I blamed everybody. It was a toxic work environment, but I made it more toxic. I walked out on a job. I had cancer diagnosed on 9/11 of 01. I had my wife pregnant. I quit my job within 3 months when she was 3 months pregnant with my second child. It was hell. It was really, really hell. And I held this resentment for one of the persons that I worked for 10 years. I wanted to kill him. I really did want to kill him. I blamed everything on him. And he was the first person I made amends to. And that really changed my life. I called him. And he was shocked that I called him. And he actually said he had something to do with it. But it wasn't for about him. It was about me cleaning up my side of the street. So I made a lot of amends to my ex-wife, to my kids, because I was a horrible dad when I was divorced. I couldn't wait to get rid of them every time I had visitation so I could go out and, you know, get screwed up. I mean, it was off to the races. I couldn't wait. You know, I was a horrible dad. That's all repaired now. I spent a lot of time with my kids. My son came with me yesterday to the 11:30 in the morning. He has addictive personality. Caught him once with drugs. He gets tested. he's a good kid. He's doing really well. He's getting ready to go to college. My other son lives in Colorado. We all know what Colorado is. And, you know, he knows. They know my story. So hopefully they'll be smart and not do the things that I did. So I've been coming to meetings now for 6 years. I'm not going to ramble forever. I've only taken up about 10 minutes so far. But one of the things that I had to do is I had to go through DeKalb County Drug Court. And I got to go back to jail for 3 more days during drug court, sober. That was fun. The same thing as being, you know, on something. I missed the screen. I'm a big Gator. And I went to UGA to watch a Gator basketball game on a 3-day weekend again. Another 3-day weekend, right? These 3-day weekends, they've been toxic to me. But instead of using, I didn't listen to the full message that they used to tell us. Listen to the full message to see if you have to screen tomorrow. Well, the message said, nobody has to screen tomorrow. I was halfway between Athens and Atlanta, and I hung up. The rest of the message said, you don't have to screen tomorrow unless you're the color green. And I was the color green. So I got to go back to jail for 3 days in the middle of drug court, not using. And it was worse than when I was using. It was, they treat you the same. It's not as if you're, hey, I'm just here for the weekend. You're incarcerated the same. If anyone's been in jail, you know, there's crazy people in there. You're one of them. You know, they don't care about your needs. They don't need to care about your needs. You have nothing. And I got to go back to jail and lose 10 pounds for 3 days, which was good for me. I haven't been back to jail since. So I graduated from drug court, I guess it was like it's got to be 3 years ago now. And I've stayed active in drug court. I go to my counselor once a month still. I've seen a lot of people go back out. A few people die. Several people are in jail or in prison now. I have two young men that I mentor here that I've been spending time with over the last, I guess, almost 2 years. A third decided that he thought he had it, and he's back in prison. He went AWOL, and now he's back in prison. And I never had a sponsee up until about a month and a half ago, and I have my sponsee here as well, too. So, you know, I try to do as much as I can for other people. What it's like now, I'm sober, I'm healthy, I exercise, I'm a better dad. I got involved when, these are all things that keep me out of my own head. That's what I try to do. I come to meetings all the time. I'm still an alcoholic, you know. Instead, this time I just smoke cigars. You know, that's my addiction now, cigars. But it's better than all the other things. You know, I don't have an addictive personality about working out, but I work out 3 times a week. Today I went to the gym. You know, I have a trainer. I walked 2.5 miles today. You know, the weather's beautiful. I try to stay grounded. One of my friend's daughter died the other day at 18 of brain cancer. My 17-year-old went with me to the service. 18 years old. You know, I try to stay humble about that, you know, about how precious life is. My mom died 2 years ago. I was sober. She saw me sober. I got to be there for her the whole time. You know, my parents were 60 years married. My dad was a broken man. He said he would never, ever be with anybody else again. He's getting married on October 26th. Isn't that funny? And she's amazing. She's amazing. She said she wants to be our evil stepmother. So I said I was going to buy her costume. And I guess it's right around Halloween. But so I do a lot of things like that, you know, and I volunteer at an elementary school, Toomer Elementary down in Eastlake. I travel all the time, but I make it my point at least once a week, once every 10 days to go to the elementary school. I have two kids that I mentor there, and I bring them lunch from different places. We sit on the playground. I meet with the principal sometimes or their teachers, and you know, I've been doing that for 4 years. That was something that was forced on us, kind of. Not forced, but we had to do social in drug court, and I love doing it. I love being there, you know, and bringing them lunch and talking with them, and it helps, and I show up. You know, it's something that I got involved in through my synagogue. We have 1,600 families that are members of my synagogue, just like most churches, you know, huge, and nobody has the time. Now my son is taking after his brother in footsteps, and he created an organization called Atlanta Dinner Bell, if you look on Facebook, and he's 17. He helps feed the homeless with a church. He brings kits to help the homeless down off of, last time it was down off of J.W. Dobbs. We went at 7 o'clock in the morning, fed them breakfast through a church, and he gives them kits, health kits for deodorant, you know, sanitary items for women, you know, toothbrushes, shampoo. And he's doing that now. He's done that for a couple of years. So that was the first event I went to. So I try to stay active, you know. I've got a lot of great friends in AA. I still go to the 10 o'clock at 8111. I've seen a lot of people die at that meeting. I've seen a lot of turnover at that meeting. There's a lot of other things besides alcohol. And it's one and done, and they're gone. It's really sad. You know, I sat at a meeting at 8111 the other day, and I only knew one person from all the time I've been there. Everybody else is gone. They're not all dead. They just moved to other places. But a lot of them have gone and gone back out and multiple relapses. And, you know, it's just really sad. This is my, you know, this is the place that I am. I come here when I travel. I'll be in New York tomorrow morning. I go to meetings in New York. I've gone to meetings in Hilton Head, in Florida, and multiple cities. And I'm not going to ever stop. You know, this is the thing for me, is that I found God. You know, I used to use and drink before I would go to synagogue, the highest holidays of the year. It's just Yom Kippur just passed by. I remember Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah going in, you know, high. And just going to look at women. I mean, it was like ridiculous. I mean, it's the time that you're supposed to be making atonement for all your sins. And I'm sitting there next to my wife, high. You know, just horrible, horrible things. Lust, all of that. But I've changed, you know. I call it David 2.0. I've gotten everything back. I spent hundreds of thousands of dollars using. When I got divorced, I lost everything. I didn't have a house. I rented apartments for 10 years in 10 different places. I never stayed anywhere more than a year. It was crazy, but I kept my job. Bought a house 5 years ago, townhouse. I love my house. Put a couple $100,000 in my 401k finally. You know, I'm 56 years old. I should have far more money put away for my retirement. Hopefully I'll be able to work for another 10 years, but, you know, wasted it. I don't resent or regret what I did. You know, it took me a long time. And, you know, there's so many young people, the two guys that I mentor here and my sponsee, they're so much younger than me. I'm glad they found it before I did. Because, you know, stopping at 50, you know, thank God I stopped, but stopping at 50, boy, oh boy, you know, how much I wasted and how much more comfortable I could have been looking forward to, you know, easing back. And, you know, and sales. Sales stresses you out all the time, you know. I never stop worrying if anybody's in sales here about the next sale. I can be extremely successful, and I'm worried about tomorrow. Today, I worried all day about getting fired. Why? I've been with the company 15 years. It's a great environment. The president likes me. I've earned his respect. My old boss, after 15 years, knows about me being in AA. I told him last year. After my girlfriend and I broke up, I told them what happened. She wasn't proud. I had to hide AA in front of her family for the 4 years that we dated, and I really resented that. But today I worried all day that I was going to get fired. Why? Because somebody made a sale to a company that I was pursuing. We usually share. He was on vacation last week, and I wasn't patient enough to wait for him to get back from vacation, so I text bombed him. Texting, and he loves me. I watched his wife died of cancer a couple months ago, 58 years old, and he knows I love him. He loves me, but he sent me a text. He goes, "I'm going to HR about this," you know. And I know he was joking, but I carried that with me all weekend, that I'm going to lose my job because I was fighting for a commission that I rightfully deserve for a piece of it, you know. But that's the way my mind works. I just worry all the time about things, and you know, we worry, you know. So I try not to worry. That's why I exercise. That's why I help people. And that's basically, you know, where I'm at today. I'm so thankful to Tim. You know, this is the third time I've been up here. Rusty Jones is my sponsor right now. Richard is there. Richard's here, and Richard was my sponsor for a while. So I'm really grateful of being here, and that's my story. That's all I have to say. Thanks.
And it's super early.
Thank you so much, David. I remember when you had to go back to jail sober. That was cold. That was cold, but lessons learned are hard sometimes. Norm, will you get our regular chips, please? Norm?
Hi, I'm Norm, and I'm an alcoholic. Here at NABA, there's a chip system that marks our time in sobriety. not always the quality, but the time. For those who are coming in or coming back or just wants to give up the ugly way we were living, we offer the white chip. 30 days, we offer the silver chip. Anyone 30 days? 39. Here at NABA, we have the 2-month chip for 60 days. Anyone for 60 days? 2 months? 3 months, we offer the red chip. 90 days? 6 months, we offer the yellow chip. 9 months, we offer the green. Anyone with 9 months? And for years or multiples, we have the blue chip.
Now we have two.
Hmm?
We do have two that are coming up. Y'all want to come up?
We do have one.
I'm going to give Amy one too.
Maybe you can turn your hearing aid up, Amy.
There you go. Here it is. I'm Juliana Holly, and this is Amy, who is an integral member of this meeting and lots of other meetings. And I have the pleasure of being her sponsor, and I have watched her grow. I mean, just in leaps and bounds as a person and as a member of this fellowship. And she's a good egg. So, tell them how many years and all that stuff.
All right, my name is Amy and I'm an alcoholic. This is 7. How I did is I got involved. Wasn't scared.
You weren't scared of anything?
No, I'm scared of you. But get involved, get a sponsor, and work the program. Thanks, Joe.
All right. Can I give it to you?
I'm still doing.
And this is Phil David. He's going to tell you all about himself.
You heard my story.
Life.
This is Hicks as well.
Right. So,
I'm so thankful for being here, and Julie, and everybody else. That's all. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else for the blue chip? Okay. I want to offer the white chip one more time. Why? Because everyone deserves that second chance. Okay. Thank God for the chips we hold.
Thank you, Norm. Thank you one and all for joining the Blue Chip Speakers meeting tonight.
Child.